It's recording, but I'm going to officially start. So we have done mind, we have done body, and this is the heart module. The next one is spirit. And then we have integration. And the integration one is going to be predominantly Q&A for you guys. That's your time to really, you know, that's the final class. So how are you going to bring this into your life? What have you tried? How is it working? So just keep that in mind that, yeah, I'm going to come to the table with some more stuff, some tools for actually creating a game you can win, I call it. So that they're, I also call them injections, that you actually inject them, weave them into your life so that it's not some 60 minutes of this and 60 minutes of that, very unrealistic expectations that people put upon themselves in personal development. It's not about that. It's about weaving it in, having it be small, consistent, and regular. So just kind of be thinking about that now, small, consistent, regular. If you've worked with me, you know I do the well-being checklist. And if you guys don't have that, at jennasmith.com, if you put in your email, you'll get the well-being checklist. And that's a great tool too, just to say that. Because while you're halfway through, I want to make sure that I'm serving you to the best of my ability and that you are getting your needs met. So make sure to use all those tools. And if you're just really busy and on the calls and listening and you're getting your little tidbits, that's cool too. All right, let's start the presentation. Share screen. Share screen. Okay. Here we go. All right. It's been a long week, guys. Did my book proposal yesterday, so I'm like really happy to be here present with you all. All right, the heart, this is funny. So for those who are just listening in, the heart-mind difference, there's a brain with glasses on that says, get up, we have a million things to do. And then the heart is hanging out on the floor and there's a butterfly and it says, why would we do a million things when we could do zero things? So this is a conundrum people have with being in, you know, we also call it the right brain and the heart kind of work together. So don't get confused about that. Don't worry about that. But the inner child freedom part of you that wants to just stay at home and eat nachos. And then there's the part of you that has to pay bills and be practical. And it doesn't have to be that extreme. Some people think, I can't afford peace. I have bills. It's like, you can do both. So this is a big part of this module is your heart center is the most productive thing you can do for yourself. Like from a mind perspective, I'm talking directly to your mind right now. You can multitask in a way that you never can with your cognitive mind. You burn out your mind when you multitask like that, the files open, but the heart intelligence, and I'm going to keep educating you about this heart center, heart intelligence, how it works, can have like millions of files open. It just has this whole other different capacity. Again, I spoke briefly about that with the right brain, subconscious mind. So right brain, subconscious mind, heart all work together very closely. Alrighty, moving on. I like that one. So I just wanted to do this little bit of a review, which we already did. If anyone wants to share, oh, I got to pop up this chat box. Oh, it doesn't look like it's letting me do the chat box right now. So Tash, just let me know if people do something. Just want you guys to remember the file closing meditation, the journaling, brain dumping, you know, it's in the mind, comes out into your body, comes out of your hand, and then you're witnessing it. It's reminding of these tools. And why are body scans good for us? So I just wanted to ask quickly if anyone can speak up or share any of those three questions, what they want to share, what those, why do we do these practices? But some people are new here too. No? I'll tell you. To create space for this connection to this bigger part of ourselves. So yes, it's to have a healthy mind. Yes, it's to have a mind-body connection. But there's this space, there's this way of being that is available to all of us. Hence the Year of the Manual name. And so those practices, to put it in full context, are creating space for your being to be more present. And if that's like a total mind warp right now and you have no idea what that means, that's okay. If you're like, oh, I do know what that means, that's what I want, that's cool too. But just know that there's more to the exercises and practices than just doing them. They're creating a bigger outcome than you could possibly comprehend. But in the consistency of doing them and having the faith in either myself or the teachings to consistently do these things, you will notice things shift and arise and kind of takes a life of its own. You know, I'm sure some of my one-on-one clients can share on the Facebook group how they apply these things and then their mind's like, well, whatever. And then they notice their life start to shift. They notice inside and outside that things shift. So we do these to create that space, to create this bigger change in how we're being in the world and how we consider ourselves as more than this sort of persona that we think we are. Okay. Back to more practical stuff. The heart, as we go into the heart and spirit, we're going to get
one second, Jenna. I just saw something pop up in the chat. So I'm going to, Aisha actually says body scans are a good way for me to remember that my body and mind are on the same team instead of having my mind hate my body for the ongoing problems and pains. So that's an amazing share. Thank you.
Thank you for that share. Yeah, that's great. Cause that's just, it helps anchor it into you, Aisha, and it helps remind people. Oh, do I have this link happening already? I don't want to watch this link right now. I have a video. I'll come back to it. I want to get more into the presentation before I have a video, but I put it right there. So what is the heart center? This video explains it, but I just want to explain it in a relatable way. I think that's why all of you are here. There's a lot of information out there about this stuff, but it can be all very complicated. So the most simple answer is, what is the heart center? It's not just, I'm just going to tune so I can show. It's not just your beating heart. So on the left side, your actual physical heart is pumping blood quite amazingly into your body all the time. Your heart center energetically is this space here. So if you were to do a cross right here in between your boobies, everyone's pretty much women here. Yeah. And we have mostly girls on here. So your heart center is an energetic space. And not going to get too much into chakra systems and all of that kind of stuff here, but there's a chakra called your heart chakra. It's the same thing. But even, it's funny, even while I'm talking about it, I feel all of this stuff starting to move in my own energy. It might be your energy. I don't know anymore when I do these groups, if it's mine or yours. But I'm feeling this like kind of vibration already. So when we do heart breathing, we just put our hands on this center and feel that space. So let's, maybe I'll do that together. I have it on a later slide, but we're going to do it now. So the best way is experience. We're going to put our hands on the heart center. And if you're driving or doing something else, you can try this later or try to do it with your mind. And all we do is kind of like you're taking an elevator down from your mind to the space under your hands in your heart center. And then you just breathe normally and naturally. And I personally can kind of feel, it's like it's literally like an elevator. It goes dunk, and then I can feel the difference because I've been doing this for a while, but you might feel it immediately as well, or you might have a subtlety of, something's a bit different. So just keep staying simple with it. Breathe and feel the space under your hands. If the elevator pops back up to your mind, you just go back to the space underneath your hands. And then when you're here, sometimes you might do some body scan stuff, like relaxing the jaw, relaxing the forehead. You'll be doing all of it all together at a certain point. You might notice you need to breathe a nice big sighing breath. You might notice yawning. Yawning is a great way to release and clear. I often will do that. You'll notice me do that when I'm clearing. And we're just feeling, if that's simple, feel the space underneath your hands. Okay. So that's the heart center. And if you're new to this, and if you're available to speak, would anybody like to share what that was like? Or what was different from, I think that was less than a minute, by connecting to, and now what's cool about the heart center is you also kind of don't want to talk. You're like, it's a feeling. Okay, everyone's in that good feeling space. Makes you feel peaceful.
Hold on. Oh, you got it? You got the chat?
I got it. Thanks. Makes you feel peaceful and grounded. Yeah. So again, a review of grounded is in your body, here. Oh, cute. I like that. Aisha says it feels intimate somehow. And that's, you know, I know people are there because they're like, oh, I'm trying to explain this with the English language, but I'm just going to use the best word that comes to mind, and the word intimate. And that's true. It's that deeply intimate place within us. That's great. So I know you all pretty much connected there. That's the heart center. Okay. Oh. Oh, okay. Anyway, my slide button apparently changed. Okay. So here is possibly unnecessarily complicated information, but I want to give it to you so that you have it. On the slides, if you're listening only, there is a picture of an energy field. So when you do download the slides, you'll be able to see them, which will be a good idea. And there's a video I have on the Facebook group that also, there's a ton of information about the heart center because the visuals are also good. It's like we have, it's called a toroidal field, but there's, if we were split down the center, and there's this small canal through the middle of our body, and then it goes down, up, and around, and back in the top of our head like a big donut. So there's this energy field, electromagnetic field, that is, it's like there's a space, and that's actually, when we say center, that's also your center. There's this actual center point, the center of it, like a hurricane, that we have energetically, and most people don't realize that. So we have this actual center point where there's no polarity, and then there's the polarities of our energetic field. Okay. In the center, that there's a center point where this energetic place where the energies converge, and that is also where things cease to have polarities, dualities, good, bad, sad, glad. There's a literal center space where there's just the oneness, no polarization. So that's another thing about the heart center. And what's cool about that is, as you're in the heart center, which people also will attribute to feeling their soul, that's something else people feel. I quite frankly don't know the differentiation between it all, but when you get into your heart center, you have more access to your spirit and your soul. So that's the best I can say. But there is this actual energetic convergence that meets in your heart center. So for the nerdy folk, there's some data. And then I have on the slide, when we don't let energy move, we cut ourselves off from this natural flow that we were born with. Our emotions were meant to move. So again, that's going to come up a lot, is that emotions are just meant to move, and it's our mind that can get in the way. I also have on this slide how, because of this field, this makes a lot of sense to empaths. So empaths are the people that can feel the feelings. I am an empath. I think most of you are probably empaths. They feel someone else's feelings, and it could be very confusing. But the good news for empaths is the more centered and grounded you are, the less it's like you're like Teflon. Like you can kind of notice it, but it's just like whoop, doesn't stick to you. And if it does stick to you, this is what a healer told me. If it does stick to you, it's yours. Like there's something for you to clear. So if you're an empath, that's good information. Okie dokie. More sort of information slides here. But this Dr. Andrew Armour introduced the term heart brain. And the chat box is actually in the way of my slides, but I know what I'm saying. So I'm not going to read it exactly, but that there is this nerve. They're starting to notice also in the gut and the heart that there are plexi of nerves similar to an operational brain, like these small, similar to brains. So we're really starting to see with modern science how these mystical concepts are meeting science, which is quite cool for us cognitive mind dominant people, that there is an actual type of brain in our heart center, or in that nervous part. So nervous center part. So that's more information for you guys who want more about how the heart and brain and all that work. Here's a picture of an onion, and our psyche is like an onion. So that heart center we had connection to just a moment ago is also a direct pathway to when we came into this world and we didn't have all these layers of stuff that we get when we're human beings on the planet. There's this essence at the center, our true self. And as we connect to our heart, we connect more to that true self. But the problem is we get layers, and the layers are fine, that we're not judging the layers, because we are surviving in this society. And we have that healthy ego that has me talking to you and knowing to say hello and knowing to say thank you. Like there's positives to that in our society. So the ego isn't necessarily bad, but we have a layer of defenses that's like being angry or irritable or laughing for like inappropriately, like nervous laughter is a defense. Like we're just not being what is, you're not being who you are. There's a defense. There's a layer between you and the world. And those defenses can turn into stronger defenses that become parts of us that are like personalities. And then if that doesn't work, we can develop addictions. And all this is doing is trying to put a buffer between this ooey gooey center of human beings that is sensitive and feels vulnerable in the world. And what we can develop in these teachings is being in that center, being aware of the layers, and being more at choice and in that center point, and being able to see the whole 360 to the best of your ability as a human, then in it and blinders on and layers and wires and yarn and all the stuff that can confuse the crap out of people. But that's how most people live, right? So it's like an onion. And again, in the chat box, if anyone has questions, let me know. Okay. Why do we get overwhelmed by emotions? If they're natural, if we were born and they're supposed to move, what happens? Because we judge the crap out of them, because our society has all of this stuff about emotions, right? Like I put here, like, get over it. Don't air your dirty laundry. So even if you are feeling something, there's a real shame and stigma about saying it. So we've come a long way, I would say, with personal development and mental health awareness and all sorts of stuff. But there's still that sense of, ooh, you just don't talk about that. Furthermore, there's some people that it isn't safe to share with. That's using your body intelligence, by the way, will help you know, can I share this vulnerable thing with this human being? Instead of the sort of spiritual woo-woo, not practical, of everyone's kind and everyone I could share with, because that's not always true. So you use your body intelligence and your heart intelligence and your spirit, of course, to figure out who you can share this stuff with. But in general, if you guys are on this call, you're feeling your feelings, and that's just how it is. And maybe it was safe to share with some people and maybe it wasn't. So, you know, also in the heart centers, all of that stuff, the hope and the joy and the love and the gratitude, the pain, the resentment, disappointment is a big one that's in people's heart center. Like years of maybe this will happen and that doesn't, maybe this will happen and then it doesn't. So eventually, you know, we put on layers and layers and layers. I'm like, oh, I don't care. I don't care. So you never feel excitement or enthusiasm because you don't want to feel that disappointment. A lot of people do that. I did that. I remember I tried out for Canadian Idol when I was in university. I was really like, I'm just totally going to get this. I'm totally going to win this. And I didn't even get past the first audition. And then my boyfriend picks me up and I'm like, I don't care. I don't care. I didn't even want to think about the fact that it didn't happen. So we don't quite know how to feel feelings like disappointment and pain and sorrow and grief because they're overwhelming. But they're overwhelming because, you know, you cry and then they're like, parents are like, don't cry. There's nothing to be sad about. So it's confusing. So that natural, what could have happened, and some people had magnificently aware parents, that kid could see that they're okay naturally, like that they felt this thing and it naturally ebbed away and then they were fine. But because we stop it and we interrupt that natural healing flow, this is why we get layers and layers in our heart center and why you don't want to go there. You know, has anybody meditated and they're like, damn, I don't want to do that anymore. Like, that is not peaceful. Yes, because your heart and your intelligence are going, woohoo, we have the space to clear. And you're like, that doesn't feel good. So it must be wrong or bad, right? And then off you go. You don't ever clear it. And then you try something else and then it doesn't get cleared. But here we are talking about it. And that's what happens. Lots of layers are in the heart, but totally worth it. And when you can have the trust to know that that intelligence system, I call it the emotional processing laundry machine. So if you think about when you're washing your laundry, you push the button. Nowadays, we push a button. And that's not unlike emotional healing. Nowadays, we have come a far way in our emotional healing process as human beings as well. Where we're at now is different in the feminine energy. I'll kind of talk about that later too. But we can activate our heart center and it will do it for us. So we just let the feelings happen. We let the sensations happen. If you're already having that happen now, because we're talking about it, just breathe and let it do its thing. Push the button and walk away. You don't watch it and then like open it up and try to scrub it and, you know, or think, oh, it's not working. I think I should take a course in it or something. Like, let it do its thing. The heart center is awesome. It is so cool, so misunderstood, so misunderstood. So the moral of the story here, it will not feel good. Most people have all sorts of stuff shoved into their heart center that has not processed. As we start to go into the heart center, we will have kind of ebbs and flows and spirals. Like, so you'll have a really good phase and then you'll go and have maybe a lower, maybe a little sad, maybe feeling, maybe you're angry. And so if we can learn to be with this and not be so confused by it and not be so overwhelmed by it, we'll start to see how our heart center and our emotions work with us, for us, not against us and a big pain in the ass. They are there to help us. And it's this great, amazing thing that you can connect to. And there we go. lots of information here, but on the slide, again, because we've understood our heart center, this is why we don't heal. We don't heal in our mind. So if a lot of clients I have are typically people that have done a lot of work before, they're like, but I've talked about this before and I've cried and it doesn't work and I'm like, yeah. But all they've done is like a hamster wheel, unfortunate, like this painful hamster wheel, but a hamster wheel of feeling the feeling, interrupting the pattern, thinking thoughts, interrupting the pattern even more, so that all that's happening is they're having a thought, having a feeling, having a thought, having a feeling, having a thought, having a feeling, and they're stuck in their own thought of the feeling more so than allowing the emotion to move. And that's why people will feel very disheartened, because they have talked about something that's hurt them. Or that might not be the case. Maybe they have done a lot of healing and they felt that very natural energetic cellular catharsis, and it's a feeling that you feel and you feel different. You might be exhausted for 2 days, but you feel like a different person when you make a shift like that. You know you've done it. You don't just think you've done it. You know. Other times people have gone through layers of big things, but we heal in like a spiral. So you are different. The wound is the same, an old wound, but the different you is healing it, if that makes any sense. As I speak of the heart, it might not make sense, but I hope you can kind of get most of it. So we heal in spirals. We don't heal in lines. We might have a core wound come up several times in our lives, but the more you can chill out and be like, oh, my core wound is coming up. Okay, how can I be with this? And you'll notice, I like, sometimes people have something come up and it's like a tidal wave and they're taken back and they're, you know, somersaulting backwards in the tidal wave. And that's how most big core wounds will feel. You might feel like you're going to die. It's so intense. I'm not even being dramatic. Like, that's how intense emotional wounds can feel. And then eventually you can kind of float in the tidal wave, and then eventually you can kind of surf on top of it. And our ability to deal with core wounds shifts as we move into this emotional healing world. But the heart center isn't just about emotional healing, but for most of us, we have to understand that that is also where we hold all of that. So it will come up. So we definitely have to talk about it, but don't get me wrong. It's not just about processing stuff and healing all the time. It's also what's on the other side of that, the space it creates for your being. So what's great is to know, okay, either way, if I'm in my heart center and if I'm doing this and if I'm feeling, I'm healing. So you can know it's working. We already did heart breathing, but here's the slide for heart breathing. It's a beautiful picture too of this heart center. But let's do a little bit of heart breathing because it's a lot of information. So just putting your hand on the middle of your chest again. So I just talked about core wounds and defenses and shame. It's a lot of stuff. Disappointments, those are big words. So feel the space under your hand that would be placed in between your chest there, right in the center of your chest. Allow your mind to can either walk down a spiral flight of steps, or I'm a get shit done kind of girl, so I like the elevator, down the elevator. And just give yourself permission to go into this space. Let your mind know that we're not going there to leave the mind. We're going there to enhance the mind. Just like we did in our first call where we beamed light up from our heart to our mind, to our brain. That's more how a conscious life is lived, is our heart center will have intelligence, and it goes to the mind, and then the mind acts. So we're connecting to this intelligence reservoir that has more access. It's not as bound by time and space. We're just feeling the space under our hands. It's good. All right. I'm going to keep going. So there you guys have a great explanation of heart breathing there for your own self-practice. Whoops. And Helen Keller has a quote here. I can read it behind the chat box. The best and most beautiful things in the world cannot be seen or even touched. They must be felt with the heart. So again, felt with the heart, the best and most beautiful things. So even if there's disappointment, and even if things don't work out, the beauty of living from this place, what we have access to, things I did not have access to when I was stuck in my mind and my wounds and all of that stuff, all of that noise, I did not have access to watching a tree and being thoroughly amused and in awe. Like when I see wind go through leaves, I'm just happy. That was not accessible before I did emotional healing and spiritual work. It's just not. So the most beautiful things, nothing, no money, no nothing, no one else can do it for you. It's the experience is felt within this heart center. So a big curiosity is, what does this heart center have to do with intuition? Does intuition come from here? I don't even know the answer to that. Intuition does come from the heart center because the heart center is not bound by our chronological time. So it has access to past, present, and future all at the same time. Again, our cognitive mind is like, what? Yeah, because it can't. But that's what the heart center can do. So an example of it not being bound by time would be, in shamanism, I realized, and we'll get more into this in the spirit module, I can actually move forward using my heart center and check out if I want to go to an event or not. I can feel the energy before it's happened and make decisions and then kind of come back and go, do I want to do that? I mean, that's kind of cool, right? And I'm not super special. I've just done this longer and everyone can do this. So you just have to practice going into your mind. No mind. My mind tried to hijack me there. So by the way, you guys are processing a lot. And so I help people process in my own body and in my own energy. So what I'm feeling is like that you guys are really here with me. You're really feeling into your heart center. You're really into this. You're really getting there. Whether or not you think you are, whether or not you know you are, I'm feeling you. You're connecting. You're connecting to this information. So just so you know. So yes, your heart and your intuition go together. But the intuition in general is, there's a sound happening, like a swooshing. We can mute people. Let me just see, just for the recording purpose. It stopped. Okay. Sometimes that happens on recordings like this. So the swooshing has stopped. Again, so the intuition part is, actually Tash and I have done a whole class on this. The intuition is an integration of both your heart and body, but it's like your higher self and your soul. Like there's a knowing. So, we don't need to compartmentalize these, but it's kind of good too as well for an educational reason. But the intuition is the part that just knows without needing to know, and that is accessible with the heart center. So they all go together. But there's a quote here from HeartMath that you can read on the slide. I want to talk about feminine energy. So in the HeartMath, it's talking about the HeartMath. HeartMath is a great organization, I suppose. They do research into the heart center. They kind of took more of a corporate angle, which is good because we're such a mind-dominant society, to put some science behind the heart center and, you know, dealing with things like stress and mental illness and, you know, this whole heart center concept has really been taking off. So you can check them out in the resource section. So HeartMath, they had put in a more practical sounding way is that when you're in your heart, you make better choices because the choices are more in alignment with your values naturally without thinking. You know, it's so funny. I've done some of these workshops and I'm like, this is slow. Like, let's do 1,001 questions to figure out who you are. And I'm like, well, I kind of told you that because the feminine energy, and I didn't know I had strong feminine energy. I didn't know I had this and that other people didn't, you know, this is something you learn. But making sense of it was a whole other thing too. That the just the knowing. Feminine energy is the being, the intuition, the knowing. So it's hard for scientific, cognitive, thinky thinkers or people who feel insecure and they have to convince the world who they are. If they can't figure this out, they don't let themselves be it. But if you actually let yourself be it, you'll stop caring actually what people think. That'll be the first thing. And if you wanted to let someone in on what, who you are and what, how you operate, your heart center will usually inform your brain the best words to use for that person at that moment in time. So let's think about how many benefits that could be. So from this feminine energy place, you can know what to say, how to say it to a human being without thinking too much. Game changer. Kids, spouses, you'll know when to talk to your boss about something. You'll know. And the amount of energy people are wasting on incessant thinking is insane, you people. It's insane. How much energy is wasted on, should I say this? And, and you're doing the script in your head while you're driving and then you're drinking your coffee and like you're like not present to your own life. So it is not worth it and it's not effective. So the feminine energy, this heart center, body intelligence, all coming together. You'll know what to do, when, how, instantly. Bam, no thinking, just being. It's a bit of a mind warp, but it's true. And it's relieving because I was exhausted. I thought life was stupid. This is stupidness, stupid life. And then I'm like, oh, okay, this is what we're supposed to be like. Got it. And now I teach other people. But I did not understand how we were just here to kind of all be fake and then feel crappy feelings and then do something stupid to make money, to buy, like, all of that kind of stuff. From the heart center, it's all about connection. It's all about experience. It's all about the here and now, being here and now. But, you know, I can say this, but it's like there's so much more to that than the words. And I think a lot of you are actually feeling this too. But again, so this feminine energy is not about you being a woman either. Women naturally will have a more keen feminine energy, wrong word, but like more natural disposition, but not necessarily. I have met far more feminine men that are more vulnerable, more in tune with their feelings, more empathetic than I was. And I'm like, rah, let's get stuff done. And they're like, oh, you hurt my feelings. I'm like, what? What? And the other thing feminine energy isn't is, a big pile of emotions, a big victim-y mess of victimhood. That's the dark side of feminine energy. That's the women can't be CEOs because they have their period crap. Emotions are awesome. They are awesome, intelligent information when used appropriately, when we come from our center, when we have this access to our integrated being. They are not this, you know, they always have that, oh, are you on your period? You know, like that, like reactive emotional self. Men have that too. Hello. Like we all have that reactive, crazy emotional self where we are all over the place. That's not what we're talking about here. That's a different place. That's your reactive fear self. So, oh yeah, that's it. That's the end of the thing. Is there any questions, any shares that people have? This is a lot of information. We're good. All right. Another big question about the heart center is what's the difference between...
One second. We have a question.
Oh, okay.
Here. Aisha has a question. And let me see if I can capture it here. I think she's happy.
Everyone else can breathe. That you've suppressed your feminine energy. Okay, she's been told that she's suppressed her... Okay. And her masculine has taken over. I'm going to assume a lot of the women on the call has happened to compete in the world. Yeah. Is that the question? Oh. How do I bring back balance? The answer is honestly, the more you do the heart breathing, and actually to bring back balance to feminine energy would be to do things that involve beauty, art, things that make you light up, things, we're going to talk about inner child a little bit as well, because that's where that can start to come up and out. And then allows you to operate where you can use your masculine skills and everything, but you're being. So it might not make sense having flowers on your desk or playing a song you like or love, more importantly. It might not make sense to you, but by doing those little things, those weaving and injections and the meditation and the, you know, like taking a dance break, those reactivate your feminine. And it's very much like our inner child, right? The expression, the inhibition of our bodies. Like I noticed as I've healed my own shame, and there's, you know, still shame in there, but a lot of the toxic shame has been healed, is that I'll just move and make sounds. And I make sounds like I'm the Minions now. Like I'll do this big stretch and I sound like a Minion. It's hilarious. Those little Minions, those cute little yellow guys. And there we go. But if we have shame, we don't let ourselves do that. And so it comes to, how do I bring, I think this question goes for everybody on this call for sure. How do you bring back the balance between the feminine and the masculine is to start doing those, you know, typically considered feminine things, but it's the true way of knowing it is what lights you up. What lights you up? What brings you joy? Because the masculine self will be like, that's dumb, that's stupid, don't do it, blah, 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 that wastes time, that costs money. Pick flowers on the side of the road. Like, you don't have to spend money. Go to the dollar store and take yourself on a shopping spree for $10 and see what happens. You know, like, we, you know, we get so harsh with ourselves. But letting yourself do that will start to balance. But it'll also bring up probably some wounds and stuff. So you may, you know, need to do sessions with people like me or other healers, but or journaling and doing the exercises to help move the energy, but sometimes it brings up stuff too. So be aware that as we do this, it brings up the stuff that needs to clear in order for us to have more space, in order for us to be more present in our lives and have all of our energy and faculties present to create the future we truly want to align with. Okay, big class, you guys. This is big stuff. This isn't small stuff. This is big stuff. So feelings and emotions. So it's been technically said that like the emotion is that core thing. I was going to say feeling, but the emotion is like the natural part of us. The feeling, I don't even know how important this is actually. Now that I'm like in my mind, I'm just like, I don't know how much this is important to you guys, but this is what technical people say. So as mental, this professor of medicine of neuroscience says, as mental, the chat box is in the way. So I just got to move that. Yeah, I can move it. Feelings are mental experiences of body states, which arise as the brain interprets emotions. Okay. Feelings are mental experiences of body states, which arise as the brain interprets emotions. Remember, interpreting, we can interpret stuff in our mind that might not be what is happening. And then interprets the emotions as physical states that we're feeling in our body, right? In that response to what's happening. So, you know, it's explained as you might see something threatening, experience fear, and then feel horror. Don't know how relevant this is to you guys. Like, this is just for those people that like to know a lot. But all you need to know is feelings and emotions, like having emotions and letting the emotions move. That's the key point. It is actually good to say that sort of hamster wheel of emotions, feeling a feeling, thinking about, feeling a feeling, thinking about. That is what gets people caught. So this is what he's talking about here, is that many people get stuck in sort of emotional hell because they're interpreting something. It's coming from their mind. Their mind is saying that's bad. Then you have the, whatever it is, then you have the feeling and off you go. So simplifying, the more we do the heart breathing, the more we do these exercises in this class, the more you're just going to naturally connect to your heart space, and that will actually take care of everything. So this is interesting information for the people that like information, but it's actually not that necessary. So, but there it is. Oh, I see what's happening. There we go. So I have a picture of a child with a flame, and she's just looking at it all cute, because that's what kids do. They're not like, oh, who's looking at me, and how, do they know that I think this, you know, all of that stuff. Just enjoying this flame. So our heart and our inner child totally go together because they're the same thing. It's only a construct that we grow up and become adults. We are children, and we grow up, and we stifle these parts of ourselves. And that's why I said to you, Aisha, as you bring back enthusiasm to your life and the lit up and the play, it naturally starts to reconnect with you. So if you've got a really traumatic background, I'll also say this because this is a group class, you're probably going to want to see somebody professional to help you navigate it. Because if it was that scary at 2 years old, 4 years old, 6 years old, and you basically something scary happens, this is trauma, something scary happens, it's system overload. So it actually kind of freezes in your energy. It gets bound because you can't actually process it as a child. And people even suppress it to the point they can't even remember stuff. That requires the support needs to meet the challenge to heal. So just if you've had a lot of trauma and you haven't actually had the right support, maybe consider doing that. But if you've done a lot of the work, just this connecting to your heart, connecting to your inner child, so we'll do a lot for you. So then I have a picture of a kid who's in a box and his head is in his hands and looks really sad. So this is usually our inner child. It's just shoved in a corner, not taken care of by our own self, by our own adult self. It's not allowed to play. It's kind of sad. It's kind of sad. And then it's a kid. It's kind of grumpy. So when you want to connect to this part of yourself, it might not trust you yet. So don't. So I'm going into my heart now to kind of explain this. Don't be surprised if you hear or sense an energy it's like, it's like a kid. It's like, meh, and I want to talk to you. Like that kind of thing might be your first encounter with your inner child, reconnecting to your inner child. So in our heart center and in our body, we're going to connect our inner child because it's all connected. It's because it's who we are. And unfortunately, most of us are unintentional child abusers because of how we talk to ourselves. We're, you know, if the things we say to ourselves and the blatant lack of self-celebration and self-acknowledgement would be considered child abuse. But it's our normal in our society. But let's not make it our normal. You know, let's not have that voice in your head be the abuser and do nothing about it. So our heart center will naturally have a childlike aspect about it. And then we need to treat it with that same energy. So if we're processing something, you know, and it's moving through your body, you're feeling feelings and you're feeling sensations and you're doing the heart breathing and you're breathing through it. And maybe you do some drawing or maybe you do some journaling, but you want to give yourself the same patience and gentleness and kindness. This isn't the masculine world of get her done and get over it. It doesn't work here. It doesn't work here. And it's not as effective. Because once we can connect to our emotions, we have these superpowers that emotions give us availability to. This heart center gives us availability to so many cool things. So that's the inner child. And right, so this is everything I was just saying. The next slide, don't wage a war on your emotions. So people can just naturally be very harsh with themselves. It's just what they've learned. But, you know, pretend like it's an abused puppy. Pretend like you are, your inner vulnerable self is this abused puppy and you're just like, it's okay. And that's how that works. It's a very innocent part of ourselves. And so we have to treat it that way. Talk to your emotions. So you can talk directly to fear. You can talk directly to sadness. You can say to sadness, again, the logical mind will think that's dumb. Who cares? You can say to sadness, sadness, what would you like me to know? What would you like me to do for you? What am I not seeing? Because it could be like, I'm sad, not doing the thing I love to do. And even though that's painful, it's more painful to be 101 and look back at your life and go, I really wish I would have listened to that little voice in my head that was like, I want to dance. And maybe you're not going to be a professional dancer, or maybe you will, but you give yourself the experience of life the way you want to live it. What lights you up, that's the wealth of life, right? So your emotions will guide you to that, to your soul, to your purpose. And there's something happening, quickening, with human beings is, I can't believe it's almost 8:30 actually. Just looked at the time. There's a quickening happening with human beings that are like yearning. There's like a painful yearning that people can't avoid anymore of not doing what they're here to do. And it usually brings them to classes like this. There's a pain. It's so tangible. They can't avoid it anymore. But that's a good thing, because why not live totally in alignment with who you want to be and how you want to do it? And why not, you know? So we've already done heart breathing. You can see how important heart breathing is, okay? Because I have it already 3 times in here. So the heart breathing is also a gateway to so many other things. In this case, when I say let's try to talk to our emotions, does anybody want to volunteer and I can talk you through talking to your emotions, like making a dialogue, making connection with an emotion or feeling? But I have to be bold and courageous to want to talk on a group. I might make you do it, Tash.
Always ready. Always ready.
Okay. Okay. Is there an emotion that you can, that you have access to, that you're aware of right now?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And another way I might ask that is, like, what's been your dominant feeling or emotion throughout the week? And so people listening kind of come along with us. So what's been your dominant emotion during the week, and allow your answer to be your answer, and then just follow along as Tash does the exercise. Okay. Yes. How would you name it? What would you call that emotion?
Grief.
Grief. Ooh, what a big one. Okay. So you would say grief, and you'd kind of connect to it, and you'd feel it in your body, however it chooses to show up. And watch the feelings in your body as you decide to zero in on this emotion. And so we're feeling with curiosity and openness the sensations in your body.
I feel a dropping, like I can feel like things pulling me down. I feel like a weight.
A weight. Okay. So there's a weight and a feeling of dropping. It's this weight. And so keep feeling that, feeling the sensations.
I feel a numbing. I feel like losing feeling in my feet and my legs.
Okay. So again, feeling that. Okay. So if you were to That's interesting. So when we're dialoguing with our emotions, your own intelligence system is going to guide you. And so in this case, I am intuitively guiding Tash, but what I'm intuitively guided to go into is, I kind of felt like there was a retreating, like there was a retreat, like you're pulling out of your legs, like to get smaller and into your core. Is that true?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's do an easier question. What would this emotion like you to know, or what message does it have for you that feels safe within a group context?
I'm always here.
So just breathe into that. So what just happened there?
A lot of what I've been feeling is my mom, the grief being the loss of my mom. And so I felt this relief. I'm here. And I felt like it allowed me just to connect with that oneness.
So everybody breathe. Thanks for sharing that, Tash. You're going to keep moving that for a bit, but grief is not a small thing to usually come to the table with, but thank you for sharing what was coming up. And what I want to share with the group is, again, by dialoguing, not through words all the time, through the sensations, through the experience, Tash was able to create the space that was being jammed up by that unprocessed emotion to then be back in that flow, to be back in accessing the wisdom that was on the other side of the emotion that we judge and back away from and fight against, actually contained the gift of exactly what she needed. Whew. So I'm going to let you be and not talk to you anymore, to let you just continue to process that. I'm not going to pick on you again. Okay, so that is why I like to do this in an example, because that's what it's about, you guys, is that hopefully when you're, and this is what I love about this group, is that you're home, you're safe, you can go into these spaces and feel safe, and that's very important. And have me there to guide you at the same time, which is fantastic. So give yourself some big, deep breaths and allow yourself to feel. And if you're processing something right now, then just do your own thing and listen to the recording. That's fine. I'm gonna move on and talk about this concept of energy in motion, emotion. And it's a perfect time because we just saw how once that energy was back in motion. Now, I don't go into the whole new agey stuff of blockages and bad energy and negative energy that needs to be fixed. That's from the mind, you guys. That's that polarized, bad, good thinking. That's those interpretations. They're interpretations. I like in Peruvian shamanism, they use the words hucha is unusable energy. Not bad. Unusable energy. It's bound up, misunderstood, shoved under a rock. Sami is usable energy. And I love that distinction because it's not negative energy. I mean, how many people get caught up in that? Don't think negative thoughts. And then they're just totally screwing themselves over and causing so much fear and causing so much hypervigilance that there isn't space. This is all about creating space, actually, for the wisdom in that feminine and that knowing and that being to come through. There's just too much noise. When the noise is happening, it doesn't mean the being isn't there. Okay? I'm going to say that again. When the noise is happening, the thoughts and the this and the that and the da 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 and who's what are they thinking, blah, 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 the being is still there, always there. It's the sun. It's nighttime, but the sun's there, and I know that, right? There's a picture of an iceberg. People use the iceberg a lot for this. So there's the little bitty bit that's huge, actually, huge icebergs, and then there's this ginormous amount under the water. And so for most people, there's what they show and what they feel. And I think what's being called for is the masks to come off. You know, you can even look at so many things in society about so-called reality TV, news, when you see news broadcasts, they used to have to talk like this and wear their suits and their hair had to be like this and it's all so serious. And people were just not digging that anymore. It had to be, you know, let their hair down a bit and have some fun and have some jokes. And now they do the little banter, but now they like script it and they make it fake. But there's this call for authenticity, huge call for authenticity. Social media, you can't even hide anymore. Like you can't afford to be fake. Someone's going to see you or your mic's going to be on. So there's this real call to authenticity right now. But authenticity is threatening if you think who you really are isn't good enough, which is the common misunderstanding, is that you just being you won't be okay. So there's the person you let out into the world, and then there's who you are underneath. The You Are the Manual course is all meant for you to get to that place where you are just being, and you might feel vulnerable, but the the payoffs outweigh the costs as far as you aren't putting on a show anymore. You're living your life according to yourself. You're on purpose, whatever that means. Even if you don't know what the purpose is, you're somehow on point. You somehow know in your being and your feminine heart center. I know I'm on my right track. It doesn't feel good. I'm unhappy here. I don't think it's going to work out, but I know. It's the knowing. It's trusting in the knowing. So just being aware of that whole big space that we don't want to show the world is actually starting to be exactly what we want. We want to be who we are. We want to be accepted for who we are. So keeping on the song and dance isn't even working for us anymore. It doesn't even feel good anymore. It doesn't solve any problems. It's working against us. So, you know, taking off these layers and connecting to our heart is going to accomplish that. Okay. We don't have any questions. It's okay not to be happy. So I have a picture here of a happy face mask being taken off, and the girl is, she doesn't even look unhappy, actually. She's kind of neutral, maybe a little sad. But true, the bliss and the centeredness and the peace isn't happy, per se. It's our being. It's what is underneath all the stuff. It's this being space. And it can move from sorrow to gratitude to just neutrality as it at its will. It's just what is. Again, our cognitive mind won't get this, but our being and our knowing will. So it's okay not to be happy. Because in giving yourself permission to just be, it's such a better state than happiness. Like, I wouldn't say it's happiness. It's, again, this, I can keep saying the same thing over and over again, can't I? It's being. It's the place of being, and that place of being gives you access to happiness, but it also gives you access to not feeling like crap if you're not happy. So you have access to the happiness, but you also have access to the freedom not to be happy. And we're in a, I'm happy, I'm okay, how are you today? I'm okay. It's okay to be like, oh, I'm good. Like, and actually mean it, and not just use that upper edge tone that people use when they're saying crap they don't mean. You know, but we do that. We can actually speak truthfully and just be with people and connect with them and be our being. And if you're not happy and if things aren't going great, you can just be, I'm okay. And normally people are like, oh, what's wrong? Oh no, I'm okay. And if you be it with confidence, and that takes practice, but if you just be with confidence, it's so funny. People don't even ask you anyway, half the time. Or you just, again, from that being place, you know what to say, you know when to say it, you know how to be. So I'm trying to say things so that you guys can do it later, but what I'm missing is that you will know when you're in your being, when you're in your heart center, when you practice this over time, all of those things. You will be in your center. So you don't need me on your shoulder saying stuff. That's what people say. They're like, I have a little Jenna on my shoulder that tells me what to do during the day. That will go away and you'll have a you, your own wisdom emerging that's always been there, but now you can hear it and there's the space for it to be. So are you guys getting the theme of the heart center? Space, center, neutral, as is, okay, knowing, being. I can't see what I have under that slide, but that's okay. What do I have under that slide? Is there words under what is? It doesn't matter. On we go. Why presence matters. So this word presence, oh, it's 8:43. My goodness. Does anybody have any questions? Does anybody want to work on anything? Everyone's just being and receiving and taking it in. Okay, well, I am here for you because this is the official Q&A laser coaching portion of the class. If you do want to work through an emotion, you can do that. If you have a question, you can do that. So if you don't want to speak, you can type into the chat box. You can do that. Lots of options, you guys. Okay, so presence is talked about, but not always understood, you know. I think a lot of people read The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle, and they're kind of like, well, that sounds cool. But, you know, like, now what, you know, kind of thing. So I have a quote by Eckhart Tolle here. He says, stress is caused by being here, but wanting to be there. And from this class, I think we can see that the being here, so we're here, but the interpretation that here isn't right is just the cognitive mind, right? So it's just that mind that says here isn't where we want to be. It wants to be, you know, whatever, somewhere. And that's stress. It's right. It's like, I don't have enough money. I don't look the way I want to look. All of the stuff of not being okay here. The thing about our center, the thing about our heart center, is it isn't conditional. There's no body size or income. Eckhart Tolle eventually had no money and was living on a bench because he was just being. Now, I don't recommend that necessarily, but that was what emerged within him to do. So again, your intelligence can bring you millions of dollars in wealth. It can bring you exactly what you need, the exact income bracket, and you're super duper happy. But abundance in this place, this heart center, this magnetism that's coming out of your body, also brings in, I got my couches for free because somebody, and they're not ugly, like cheap couches, they're leather couches. So, you know, it doesn't have to be the money. When you come from your heart center, you have access to receiving. Now we get to spirit a bit. The divinity that you are. You are not, it's not conditional. Your heart space isn't conditional. Your worthiness is unconditional. So whether you stole paper from work or not, your worthiness is still there. It's unconditional. You will feel guilty because your intelligence system will go, not in the whole like flow of things. It's not actually bad, but it's not, what's the word? It's off balance. You're going to be off balance in your give and take and receiving. So your receiving grows. People that want more abundance, your receiving grows as you go into your heart center, as you heal your pain, as you allow the heart center to do what it's revealing itself to do through sensations, through experiences, through awareness, through dreams. Sometimes I get a lot of messages through songs. This is going to be more in the spirit. Next week we do spirit, but your heart center is going to get you in alignment the way alignment looks for you. Like, it's just take an elevator down your head to your heart, do it, listen. I know it sounds simple. It is, but it's not always easy. So that's what presence is. Okay. It's the being state, it's that center point state. And you can often be quite quiet, but thoroughly entertained by nothingness. It's interesting. It's a fullness, I guess, is how I describe it. Yeah. Okay. So on the slide, I'm just seeing what I have here. Another quote by HeartMath. It's too thinky and heady for how heart-centered I am right now. Okay. Really cute picture of a polar bear on a ball underwater. But for the most part, I just wanted to illuminate the idea that we hold our emotions down and our emotions are energy. So we'll get tired. It's like holding down beach balls underwater. There's energy it takes to hold it down. There's energy required to manage it. But when you let it go, like the hucha, the bound energy, you have energy. So a lot of people are tired. They don't know why they're tired. And I healed from fibromyalgia and chronic pain because all of this emotional stuff was bound in my body, bound in my energy and my heart. So there the healing goes. But I felt too tired to heal, and I felt too tired to do the goals that I had. But what I didn't know at the time, and what I want you all to know, is that it, as you heal, energy is released. So the vision you have in your head that you're like, oh, I don't even have the energy for that. You do, just not now. And your body and your soul and your mind and all of it's going to work together. Your mind might start to screw with you if you let it, but all of the other parts are going to work with you to get you there. it's an aligned soul purpose that's like a yes, that yes, move forward, yes. Yes, I want to do this. You could do that for trips too. Yes, I want to go to Costa Rica. No, I don't want to go to Antarctica. No. But I might want to go to Antarctica. My body might be like, yes, and I won't know why. That's the intelligence. It's starting to trust the intelligence. So trust is a big thing. But holding beach balls underwater takes energy. That's the point. I also have in your slides, and then I'm going to force you guys to do Q&A. I'm not going to have any more slides for you to be amused with, or I'll just pick on Tash again. The emotional guidance scale is awesome for our minds to get on board with the movement of emotion, and for our minds to get on board with assessing how we're doing. Like, it's really good, those evidence journals of, oh, okay, so I actually had a client today who was in the bottom, like powerless victim, doesn't see how anything was going to, and now she was like livid angry this week. So I was like, good for you. You're like way up there now. But most of us judge everything, boredom, pessimism, frustration, overwhelm, disappointment, doubt, worry, blame, discouragement, anger, revenge, the judge for sure, hatred, rage, jealousy, insecurity, guilt, unworthiness. And there's something in the chat box for like powerlessness and victim. We judge all of those, but they all have their own way of weaving through and getting to that space, right? So when we can just let them do their thing, they can do their thing and move. And to actually see that from insecurity to anger is a big step. To see that when you're actually frustrated, you're not hopeless anymore. And to not be like, but I'm not happy. Remember what I said about happy. Don't try to be happy. Happy will happen from your being. And as you clear these things, the unusable energy, the bound parts that will reveal themselves in the right time and place when you have the exact things you need for yourself to work through them, you will have more access to those other states. But allow your own intelligence to work with you and heal you. It's there for you. It's, you know, do it. So this is a great thing to look at when you are kind of judging yourself or you're kind of feeling stuck. It's like, okay, well, where am I? Or why am I judging that? Okay, worry is above rage. Okay, so whatever. And if I'm feeling bored, okay, moved up. And then maybe you'll have enthusiasm. So it's just a good way to see how it all moves. They say, this is from Esther and Jerry Hicks' books. They say that the upward spiral is when you're going to really manifest. And that is true. But the reason that's true is because it's evidence that you're more receptive, that you've cleared through most of the stuff so that you'll actually enjoy the stuff. Hopefully that makes sense. Okay. This was what I was talking about. The heart is a portal to far more information than our cognitive mind can fathom. So what I was saying about the ability to move forward, the ability to move backwards. This is how people do past life regression. This is, if you're into that, you don't have to be into that. You don't have to be into any of it. Just breathe, feel the space under your hands. If that's all you get from today. So you can go back and forward in time. You can I can work with someone in China and heal them, help them with their emotional healing. And I'm in Canada. So there's just this portal to more than our cognitive mind can fathom. That's basically that. Okay. And now that's the show, guys. Da-da-da. I'd like to talk to some people if they want to talk to me. We have some resources here, movies you might like, the Heart Math Institute. Some authors that I really like are Brené Brown. Actually, Brené Brown's a funny story. I was at Chapters. I'm like, I wonder if there's another diet book I should read, like a nutrition book or something. And I ended up taking home The Gifts of Imperfection by Brené Brown. It like spoke to me on the thing. And that's your heart intelligence, you guys. It's like, I'm going to get a diet book. It's like, no, you're not. Set it. My body intelligence knows what to eat now, right? So information about empaths, Judith Orloff is fantastic. And a book, if you guys are confused by emotions and feelings and they really have you confused, the Emotional Fitness book by Janice Berger, amazing. She goes through all of the major emotions and explains them. It's awesome. So if this is not required, this is not required. If all you do is do the heart breathing and kind of get or do the feminine energy stuff, you're gonna get this. Your intelligence will take over. But if you're like, oh, I want to learn more about this, or I feel a yes to that, there you go. Alrighty, we've got some time. So it's just, let's just breathe. Let's just breathe together first. I'm gonna pull this back. Space. That's funny. My angels and guides were like, now's the time where you do the transmission, Jenna. Actually, we're not going to do Q&A. Oh, see, I didn't know that 2 seconds ago. That's how this works, guys. Part of the transmission apparently is going to be a card. Everybody just breathe. Oh, popped right out. Breathe and feel your body. Breathe and take this time, this energetic space of community and coming together for a shared intention, a shared experience, a shared knowing. All of you on these calls are healers and masters in your own right. I know all of you. So just breathe into the space, and I'm just going to connect to my heart center. So I want you all to picture an ember. An ember is a little flame, not quite a flame, but an ember in your heart center. And as you picture this little light, every time you breathe in, just like fire, you're bringing breath and energy to this fire, and it's getting more into a flame with each breath in. And this is a transformational fire. This is what Spirit's saying is a continuation of the circle we created last week of coming to your seat, your belonging, your home. And there might be some pain there. There might be some processing there. There might be some relief there, some joy there. Just allow that fire to burn in your heart center, and I can actually hear it. I can hear like this fire crackling, and that there's almost like a sound fire makes. And I'm very aware of as I'm connecting right now. So this fire can burn off and transmute a lot of the fragments and misunderstandings that are just kind of like old, like again, just like a computer, the old stuff in your browser and all that kind of stuff that you defragment. It's just like that. The stuff that's just extra can just be burnt off instantly. And the deeper stuff, the core wounds have gifts in them, and we don't want to burn them. You don't want to burn a gift. So there's something to move through, but our intelligence and our heart and our spirit will show us how to do it. We will know what to do, when to do it, what to say, how to say it. We will know in the moment in that center, because that's what the center is. And that's what is accessible to all of you, everyone. Breathing and feeling the space, hopefully placing your hand over your heart. Or if you want to put a hand on your belly or your womb. So now I'm not feeling fire as much as I'm feeling just this sort of, it was when I said womb actually, this more watery, warm space. Calm and peaceful. So breathing and feeling the space that is your heart center. And again, it's the same message of welcome home. And if anyone has any tension in the back of their neck, just allow themselves to breathe energy into that and breathe healing into that. So now there was kind of this wave of joy. So it kind of feels like it moved through a whole cycle. So the card I pulled was my cat came to play. Just to show you guys, if you want to see Sushi. It's Sushi. Okay. Manifest. Oh, I don't even have the... Well, here's the book. Okay. Manifest. It looks like this. Fractal geometry, and I'm just going to read story time, everybody. I'm going to read you what this message is for us. Energetically, everything is falling into place. You are coming into a high point where you will find you are able to easily manifest the people, things, and situations you need to carry forward on your journey. The energy of manifestation is a creative force, and right now it is in full flow for you. Stay focused on where you want to go in your life and how you want to feel. Don't worry about the details of what you think life should look like. The universe is infinitely wiser than we are with our human point of view. Just know and trust that things will come to you in perfect order and in perfect time. We don't manifest anything that is not part of our soul's plan. So while you may not win a lottery, you can expect to experience abundance and ease while these energies are here. This is a great time to play with and learn about the order of manifesting. While you will notice that most of what is manifested is done by the higher self, a smaller portion will be manifested from your conscious mind. Explore it and fully have fun with it. Anything can be manifested at this time, so do not limit your potential. Your soul knows no limits. You are a creator and able to naturally turn energy into physical manifestation. You can use this power of manifestation to help you gain understanding about your purpose, to help connect you to the right people or organizations, or even aid you in gaining financial resources you require. The sky is the limit with this one. Enjoy it while it lasts. That's a little scarcity there. Enjoy it anytime you want to go to it when it's time. Hold in mind that it wasn't intended that you use your ability to manifest for yourself only. You can also use this to help others who may not be able to help themselves right now. So, you know, a lot of similarities in this whole class of manifesting, in this manifest card. More confirmation, and this is how the heart space works, is through this whole class, pull this card, and it basically says the same thing. And that's how the spirit world works. That's how the place of knowing and being works. And that's what we all have access to.
Yeah.